Dear Heavenly Fathers, I'm about ready to share the Word of God to your wonderful people. Father, I pray today that they get a hold of what I'm about to share. Father, it is the whole purpose for you coming to planet Earth and the reason that you're here. And Father, even the reason for the season. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we get to acknowledge the purpose of the season. Even though the unbelievers and the atheists and the agnostics, they don't understand it. But Father, it's a good time to present Jesus before them. And everybody said, it's real funny how this thing has been going on in Olympia. Isn't it funny how an unbelieving conscience is bothered by it? Isn't that good news? They're tormented by it. Praise God. They got to think about that every year. Hallelujah. So it's good when we stir up the unbeliever. It's good we stir them up. Amen. I like it. Praise the Lord. That stirs up some believers. They're not going to put up with this stuff. So they fight back. Hallelujah. Some preach the gospel in strife and contention, others through the goodwill of it. But nevertheless, Jesus gets preached. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, how many brought your Bibles? Okay. Well, I'm not going to have you turn any place right yet. I just want to just have you focus up here and pay attention to what I'm about ready to share with you. I need to cover some things that I have covered in the past, but I think it's very important that we understand the vitalness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, you don't have to turn there unless you want to, but in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Jesus meets the disciples after his death, burial, and then resurrection. And in that meeting, he says, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth." He also says in that passage, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you." The same incident is brought up in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20, where he rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts and said, "Go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. And he who believes is baptized, thus being saved. And he who doesn't believe will be judged or already judged. Those who believe in me, these signs will follow them. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues." Yes. "They'll take authority over the works of Satan." Some people think it's picking up snakes, but it's actually taking authority over the works of Satan. "Drinking deadly things won't hurt them." Back in that day, understanding that statement was very vital, because drinking water was not all that good. "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And it says, "And they went and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them, confirming words through accompanying signs." Then we find this passage mentioned again in Luke chapter 24, verses 34 through 53. This passage is very important because it said he opened up their understanding to comprehend the scriptures concerning the law given to Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. So he opened up their understanding to comprehend scripture. And that's important to know that. He said then in that same passage, "Go to Jerusalem, tarry there until you be endued with power from on high." Then in John 20, 20 through 23, this is where he greets his disciples again. And he sends some of the disciples out by breathing into them the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I brought out these passages is today I want to capitalize on one thing that is so important. that when Jesus met them after resurrection, he taught them the principles on which they were to receive something. He taught them the principles on what they were to receive. Now, we know that the Bible is very, very clear that the principles come first, according to Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. That's Proverbs 4:7. Now, what I want to talk to you tonight, or this morning about, is that many of us as believers, we've got to realize that when there was a principle put into motion, that this principle is vital for the whole world. And we are living in some very difficult times, and I feel that this natural world, times are going to increase with difficulty. Never before have we lived in a nation that going to the grocery store might be very detrimental to us. It might, in some cases, even cost us our life. And, you know, you don't think that, but, you know, I mean, look at you ladies now. You can go to a shopping mall, and now it's not an unusual thing to hear gunshots go off. I mean, we're living in a very dangerous and crooked, lawless society, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. But you know something? When Jesus laid the vitals of something, and it says these principal things which come first are important to us because those principles belong to us. Amen? And with those principles, I like what Jesus said in Matthew 28. He said they come with the fact that all authority has been given to me. Isn't that good news? Jesus has all authority placed into him. Guess what? Both in heaven and in earth. And you know, it's unique in the Greek there. It's just singular. It means the third heaven and in earth. Now, the devil operates in between. That means whatever's in between is in that realm of authority. Now, you might want to make note of this, okay? Jesus had received authority. But I want you to write down all. A-L-L, all authority. Jesus has got it. Jesus has got all authority. That's why he says, therefore, go. Glory to God. He's got all authority. Now, how many of you know that when we face some difficult times in our society, in our life, our economy, how many of you, do you really realize the importance of following through to the principles of what you were given to live by? Now, he says all authority has been given to me. He didn't say it was given to the world. He said it was given to those who believe. Now, the hardest thing for us to do is to really transition our thinking, over into the scope of the authority that we are to live in. When the circumstances of life seem to come at you constantly. Well, they do. They come. If you don't believe me, wake up this morning. Life does present difficulties. But listen, when you face the difficulties of life, I got news for you. You're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a believer. So when you face the principles of this world, you need to start thinking, I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not under the authority of the system of this world. That means that there are some vital things that you have to understand in order for you to operate within the perimeters of the authority that has been given you. One thing that I've learned about authority is God ordained authority because we have lawless people. Do you know that? But I also find that God doesn't appoint all those in authority. He's appointed the authority, but not all those that stand in, because sometimes we have corruptness in authority. And some people who are in authority seem to think they can live in both realms. They can also be above the law, and yet they can be under law and think that they can get away with it. Are you following me? No, if you're going to represent law, then you've got to function within the authority of that law. Can I hear an amen? You know, one thing I've learned about Ephesians chapter 6, when you face the enemy, you better make sure that you're walking in righteousness. You have the full armor of God in your thinking. Because you go and start pulling the sword out on him, and he can turn and indict you for what you're not doing in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to go ahead and slap you right alongside the head anyway. Functioning under authority means to dwell and abide under that authority and remain in it. Amen? Now, my son called me, and he wanted some clarity on authority before, in the beginning of time, and in comparison to now. And I was sharing with him that once Adam turned his dominion over to Satan, which we know that is true, because Jesus, even in Luke chapter 4, tells us that he turned all the system of this world, the society of this world, whom he gave to Adam, Adam turned it over to Satan. And when that authority was given to him, man was in trouble. Man was in trouble. Because in order to turn that authority over, Satan deceived him in turning that authority over, and he fell into the system of where that authority now dwells, and he can lord it over it. He went from a spiritual status to a physical status. Can I hear an amen? He went from living on a spiritual plane with God to that which is a physical plane with God. And so he then lost his place of dominion. Because that was the first thing that God told him, that after God rested on the seventh day, God turned around and spoke to him and said, Adam, I want you to take dominion over all that I have prepared to give you. I give it to you. Take dominion. Take rule. Take authority. And Adam said, okay. Now, many of us get born again. We don't realize that we've been transitioned out of the realm of the authority of the system of this world into the authority of the kingdom of God. Oh, glory to God! Now, you say that all the time, but man, it has wonderful meaning to it if you understand it. But too many of you are body ruled! You've got to start standing against your physical being, quit making excuses, and get out under the authority of the Lord Jesus, and leave your walk out through your spirit. Amen. Because you're going to need it for the next 2 years that come. I guarantee you're going to need it. Because there is something stirring in my heart that you're going to see things take biblical place about the system of this world that you can't even imagine it's going to take place, because things are going to continue to escalate and escalate in a downward motion, which is going to cause all these things that end time speaking about come to pass. And I got news for you. You're going to need the cutting edge of your authority to make it through it. Anymore, I told the Lord, help me to be totally at peace, no matter what comes my way. Help me to do that. Whether it's a church member or whether it's the financial system, whatever it is, I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace, because when you're at peace, you can hear the voice of God. And it'll always come with encouragement for you. Glory to God. Now, he said all authority has been given to me. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I love the Word of God, don't you? I just love it. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to go to verse 17. Well, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he is praying. Here's what he's praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, in the Greek there, it's the eyes of your heart. That the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I want to share something with you about this verse, this statement. When it said that the eyes, what you see by, of your heart, being enlightened. Do you know what? I guarantee you, you're sitting there, and there isn't a one of us in this sanctuary, not one of us can claim, they know the totalness of their own heart. You might think you do, but that's the first sign you don't. Because that's a sign of pride. The only person that can reveal your heart to you is the Lord. And Galatians 4:9 does say it. That I would know him, or rather, being known of him, that I would know him. See, a lot of people don't understand that verse. It literally means you can't know God until God is able to reveal your heart to you. And in that, you can know him more clear. See, a lot of us don't live in the reality of the understanding of our own heart. Now, we've been talking about the heart. For those of you that want to hear more of the Word of God, we have extra services other than Sunday morning. But we have been teaching about the deception of the heart and how the mind functions around it. And the only way that your faith grows is by how much hearing that you put into it. And we've been clearly defining the fact that no man understands the fullness of their heart until God can get into the working of their heart and remove the excuses that they have for where they're at, so that they can get back where God wants them to be, especially in that position of what we call or term first love. The Lord told me those believers who have maintenance themselves and maintained their first love will go through the fire but will not be burned. They'll go through the rivers, but it'll not overtake them. Because there's a place that God put, the whole purpose of God working in your heart is to put you into the position that all authority that has been given to him is therefore amplified through the position of what you are while you're here. Somebody said, you know, Pastor, I was laid off. I hear that all the time. And pray for me. Here's how I pray for you. Father, that they would get their eyes back on their authority and take their place of prosperity in your kingdom. That you were made poor, they might be made rich. And I pray that they take their position and get scriptures and hold their authority before this world and command new job, a better job, and better finances. That's how I pray for you. I can't go to God and say, God, give them a new job. Because a new job is what's already ordered for you. Because if God has given you a position, of authority so that you can preach the gospel and be unhindered by the principles he's given you, then certainly his care for you to have money is of concern for the God, for God. How many of you know that? You see, you've got to learn how to operate in the full maximum of your authority to get the full results. Do you guys believe that? Now, notice he says here that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Glory to God. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? I want you to underline that. Exceeding greatness. You know, it would have been enough to say the greatness, but it termed exceeding greatness. Now this is a prayer for you by Paul. Yes. Exceeding greatness. Ooh, I love this. Of his power toward us who believe. Toward us. His exceeding greatness towards us who believe. You know, you can be a believer and yet be in unbelief. He's saying, I want your eyes to be opened, your heart to be open, to what? That you would know what the hope is of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis towards us who believe. According. And this is how we believe. According to the working energy. According to the energy of his ruling power. That's what that says in the Greek there. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his achieving ability towards us who believe, according to the energy of his ruling power. His ruling power. Guess what? It said towards us, his ruling power. His ruling power towards us who believe. Look at this. Which he worked or operated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Notice this, far above all rule and what? Authority. Far above all rule and authority. And dunamis. That means any rule that has an achieving ability to it, Christ's achieving ability supersedes it. Now watch this. I love this. And dominion, that's lordship. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. Notice this. To the church. To the church. To the church. Gave it to you. And guess what? If he gave it to you, guess what? You got it. And if you got it, guess what? You got to use it. You got to use it. Now, you ought to get a hold of these words and write them down and confess them every day. Every day I'll take certain scriptures. Every day I'll take them. Now I'm getting to where I know them in my thinking. and I go through them in my thinking. I'd say, this is my dominion. This is where I live. This is where I rule. This is where the enemy cannot touch me with any kind of fear. This is the area where I learn to rest. And the only thing I need to fear is that a promise is escaping me. But I've got all my promises together. I know what they are. I know how to rule with them. I know what they mean to me. I don't have to go into heaven. That is not what faith speaks. I'll ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above to do something. No, the rule and authority has been placed in the earth, given to me, and I will rule with it. Glory to God. Now, I'm not just giving you a message because you want to hear a good message. I'm giving you something the Holy Spirit laid on my heart for you so that you can maintenance yourself, so you can do the things that are necessary, that when the day faces you, you don't have to be a victim to the circumstances. Amen? It doesn't mean they won't come, but you'll have lordship over them. You'll have rule over them. Now, I want you to notice something. All these things that we mentioned in those three passages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're what I call principle. They're the principles. And sad to say that in comparison to the world, in the knowledge that the world is obtaining, diath, which means an increase in knowledge, the technology, I don't know whether you've gotten it or not, the technology of the world is at such an increase, now they're saying it went from a 6-month period down to a 4-month increment. That means you can buy an iPod and later on get a Wii. If you know what I mean. It means you can go for one technology, and then 4 months down the road, you got something better to work with. And now we go to, I was asking John what I could go to get to record my messages, and he says, well, you can get this, but it's really, this one's better now. It's kind of like a computer. I got this computer. Yeah, that was good a year ago. Well, what's wrong with it now? That sucker cost me almost $1,000. Can $1,000 last longer than that? I'm going to tell you, any attachment you have to this world, you're in your wrong authority. The further you go with God, the more detached you become. But you know what the best thing about it is? You get to enjoy both. You do. Somebody said, well, Pastor Butler, I've been believing for over 2 years and I ain't seen a thing yet. You haven't been believing. Why? I said, look at the fruit on your tree. Well, what's wrong with my fruit? It's fruitless. You know, it amazes me how Christians will go for 2 years, if not longer, for nothing. I ask them now, I said, well, what promises have you surrounded this situation with? And how have you prayed? Well, I got all the promises, but not specific promises. I want some specific promises that you've used. Well, I can think about, they're telling me I haven't really looked for a promise. That basically, they're lying and trying to get away with it. Well, I tell you what, when you're standing for a promise of something, you know the scriptures right up what you got right away. You go right to them. Oh, I'll tell you what scriptures I'm using. Okay, now how are you applying the scripture? How are you applying the promises of it? Well, I go to Jesus every time. Wrong! Well, aren't we supposed to go to Jesus? Faith doesn't speak on that wise. Faith speaks on this wise. Jesus has already given me it. He's already promised me it. So if He promised it to me, then I've got it already here. Well, where is it? It's found in your Bible, which some of you don't crack very much. It's found in your Bible. And when you open it up and look for the promises in it, and then you sit there and you know what the Bible says, you don't go to Jesus about it. You declare before Jesus what He already has given you. But you don't understand what I'm going through. Oh, yes, I understand it. Why? You're going through the fire and you're being burned. Wait till you get to the river, you'll drown. Really, what you're looking for is a bailout. We're looking for a bailout. God, bail me out of this mess, but I'm living by faith. No wonder why, bail me out. Drowned. Go ahead and get burned. That's what will happen. Now I'm going to tell you something. Let's go there. Let's go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Pastor, you have no idea what you're doing to me. Yeah, I'm preaching to you. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And go to verse 3. Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom, say it with me. Through wisdom, a house is built. I know what that's all about since I put an addition on my place. I know what that's about. Through wisdom, a house is built. Now I want you to notice the second part of that verse. And by what? It is what? Through understanding, it's established. You know, many people have the wisdom of God, but they're not established in it. The right situation or circumstance can come along and shove you right off them principles. Boom, put you right down the road. Why? Because you're not established in those principles. Well, how do I get established in the principles? By getting the understanding of the wisdom that God gives you. Now, what's interesting is these three or four passages we looked at about Jesus meeting the disciples without going into detail. Every one of them is a principle. Every one of them is a principle. The church has not moved into the vitalness yet. They're still on the principles. They do all their Christmas displays, a singing Christmas tree. That's what we really need. A Christmas tree that sings. Scrooge. Wow, that's what I really need. All about Christmas around a Scroogey guy. But when are we going to get down to the vitalness of what really establishes us and what we believe? That's what's important. I never forget years ago, I forgot who I was talking with. I think it was Randy at first, and I went to Tammy about, wouldn't it be wonderful to really do a church play on the vitalness of Jesus coming and laying in a manger? It boggled our imagination because the world basically is in principle only and not in the understanding of the vitalness to salvation. You know, I was watching TV on that sign that atheist put up on what he was saying. You know what caught my heart? Eternal death, eternal separation from God is not a good place for anybody to go. And my heart just went out. Because that guy is probably so sick of principle that it probably went over his head to the point he was drowning in it and decided there is no God because of the cruelness of that message. But my heart went out because there is another person who has damned himself to eternal hell, and we're sitting there watching this, and it grieves a person's heart. because of the valuableness of a spiritual being and his soul having eternity infused in it. And he's going someplace where he might not ever get out of it. Well, my Bible says he won't. If he passes from this life into that one, and he's not made one with Christ, he won't cook. And it's not good. But through wisdom, a house is built. And so Jesus gave us the principle. He said the principal thing is wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, he said wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. But he said, therefore get wisdom. But here it says, though wisdom a house is built, but by understanding it is established. By understanding it is established. Now here's what I want you to put next to understanding. Vital. In other words, the principle doesn't have any reason for itself until there's something vital that goes with it. Can I hear an amen? So the principal thing is Jesus is the way, but the vital thing, here's the vital thing. He's the only way. So you see, you can get shoved off of a principle. But when you have the vital understanding of something, you're established. They couldn't shove you off it with a bulldozer. I mean, I hope somebody couldn't shove you off it with a bulldozer. So principles is very nice. Nice to have. Because that's how wisdom comes to us in a principle thing. But you know what? It's not up to God. It's not up to God for your vitalness. That's up to you. Because when God gave the principle, He knows there's a vital side to the principle. Are you following me? And so consequently, when you're looking at the situation here where it says Jesus is the way, and He don't have the vitalness, He's just one of the ways. I hope none of you have heard that lately from a Christian believer, but I have. Now you don't think, come on, you don't think Jesus is the only way to God, do you? Yeah, it is. Well, what's the difference? One, you're damned forever, and the other one, you go to be with the Lord. It's all death. Wednesday night, I talked about other religions. I got into Scientology. Remember that one I talked about Scientology, for those of you here? Wasn't that interesting about Scientology? And the movie stars, their God is Ron L. Hubbard. Have you ever read his books? I had to read his book, Dianetics. When I was going to drama school, I had to read one of the books that he had wrote before the real big book cover, Dianetics. There were some books by Ron L. Hubbard. You guys, he'd been around a while. You know what he was teaching? He was teaching that the mind that you possess is your God. That's basically Ron L. Hubbard's concept. The unfortunate thing is now that people follow Ron L. Hubbard's thinking, Ron L. Hubbard has become their God. Thinking. Intellect. And basically, Dianetics shows you the proper concept of the intellect. And that's the part the Bible says can't know God. Now, I want to get back to this principle. Here's another one. Another principle. You must be born again. The vitalness is, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. That's why some people say, well, yeah, I've received Jesus, but I don't believe in that born again stuff. That's called nuts. Because if you believe in Jesus, then along what accompanies it is the new birth. And that's the vital part, is that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you're not born again. You're none of His. Here's another principle. You must be baptized. You must be baptized in water. Some religions say, if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. Matter of fact, one of the ministers that hanged really tough on water baptism, he himself was water baptized. He was messing with women in his own office. Doing women in his own office. But he's saved. Why? He was water baptized. Doing women. Well, what is the vitalness to water baptism? This might shock a lot of you. The vitalness to water baptism is that you must declare your body crucified in Jesus' death on the cross, because your body was crucified in His death on that cross. That means when you get water baptized, you bury the old man and come up with the new. I know that might shock a few of you. But you know, when you get water baptized, that means you put down the old man and you resurrect anew. This guy went down in water with the old man and came up with the same old man. He forgot to leave him down there, because it's the old man that messes with women. And not his own. He don't drink out of everybody else's cistern. He drinks out of his own. Well, what happened?
He was water baptized.
Well, actually, all he did is get wet. He just got his outer man wet. Because water baptism is a declaration before, that is your testimony before the world, that you're burying the old person that you used to be and resurrecting to a new one. You're living a new life. Here's one that's a real good principle. Your soul needs to be saved daily. Daily, it says, daily. Some Christians only believe their soul needs to be saved once a month. You know, whatever their forte is. But the vital part of it is, the mind of the senses is unable to understand the things of the Spirit. You've got to be consistent with your hearing the Word of God. Tim the other day was, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Tim, you're here. Tim was driving, I forgot where he was going, and he was listening to Joe Purcell's message. When Joe was here, remember that message? Wasn't that powerful? Giving confirmation to everything that John Cook and I have been preaching all this time. And he pulls over and he's crying and he calls me. He says, Dad, I got it. I got it. And I says, well, what'd you get? I thought it was an animal. I think we were getting ready to go hunting. He says, I got what righteousness is. I know what you and John have been preaching. Now I got it. And I like to say, I would have liked to have said this. It was about time. But I knew he got it because of his reaction to it. He got it because of how he reacted. Every time I've gotten a revelation from the Lord, it so impacted me, I'd weep. That's what I do every time I weep. Matter of fact, when I got the Born Again Trail, John and I got it, we started sharing these tapes with another brother, who's the minister. He brought them back and threw them on John's desk. He said, I already knew that. Number one sign, he didn't get it. I'll tell you something about God. You can't know Him through your intellect. And there's some Christians who are walking by the intellect, and they don't know Him. That's why 1 John is so powerful. How those verses fit. It says, those that haven't seen Him don't know Him until they get into that place of fellowship where they get to know Him. See? A lot of Christians know about Jesus, but they never know Him personally. How can you tell? The fruit on their branches tell you how much they know God. The fruit on your own tree will tell you how much you know God. How do I know that? Because of fruit on my tree. Here's a principle. You must not live after your flesh. You know what the vitalness is? If you live after the flesh, you'll die. You're dying off. You're going right back into the authority from which you were retrieved from. That is the walk of your flesh. Well, how do I know when I'm walking after my spirit and my flesh? When you let the flesh have its way. It usually comes with excuses. Now, notice it says, by understanding, wisdom is established. It's established. Now go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 1. And again, why I'm giving this to you is to challenge you to wake up if you're falling asleep in God and get back on the cutting edge with the Lord, because the system that is coming, that is included. Matter of fact, Rick Renner, Tim was telling me in Rick Renner's letter, he said he was flying to the United States. Is that right? Tim, are you here? Where are you at? There you are. When you were flying to the, when Rick Renner was flying to the United States, he saw a big cloud, dark cloud over the United States. And that's kind of what I had seen one day in prayer. People, you have no idea, unless you get a confirmation in your heart from God, what's up ahead. Stay away from any form of debt. Stay away from signing any contracts with anything for now. Right now, listen, take my warning. Don't do it. Stay as free as you can financially. And if you're in debt, do everything you can to pray yourself out of that situation and to do whatever you can to get out of it. Matter of fact, I was listening to a tape by Tony Cook. He was interviewing a banker who is a very wealthy Christian believer. And he used Greek a lot. But anyway, he was talking about how he was raised by his father, who was a devout Christian, and how he brought his family to poverty. But yet, he didn't know how to handle money. And so Tony Cook was interviewing him to give an understanding of the 90% versus the 10%. And so this guy was, it was incredible how Christians do the system of God financially with no regard to what it does for the children. And listen, when God challenges you to do things through the wisdom of His Word, He always does it in such a way you never fall to one ditch or the other ditch. You always are a good example, not only for your family, but also for the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? And so this banker was talking about some of the things that are coming on the horizon. And he said, it is imperative that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ get into a good system of discipline over their finances because of what's coming. And then when he went and showed me how bankers made money and produced salaries and things, I went into shock. Do you know that a lot of the salaries that are paid by banking systems comes off of bounce checks? Did you know that he said there was members of their own church that would not tithe but paid $400 to $500 a month bounce checks? But they won't tithe. You know what that's called? Insanity. And some of you might be sitting there with that same thing. You know what? I put a restriction on me. If the money is in the bank, I'll spend it. If it's not there, I won't. The bank that I was with, WAMU, turned around and gave me a $1,000 credit limit, overdraw, $1,000 overdraw. I know some people live off that. I have never, ever lived off of an overdraw. Not $1. God is my witness. And I'm going to tell you something. These cash in advance check places, you know what that's called? Insanity. Now they're coming off like the cigarette company. Oh, be wise when you go and get your $500. Well, now they've increased it to 700. Be wise when you go to your 700 buck allotment. Be wise. What wisdom is it when you got to go and get it? These places shouldn't even exist. I'm going to tell you, we need to start getting a hold of the discipline of our flesh. Did you know that when you get into Ephesians chapter 1 here, that the eyes of your understanding being undone, did you know that you and I, according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, we are called that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might bring together, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. Did you know the word for dispensation there at verse 10 of Ephesians 1 is literally the Greek word stewardship. Stewardship. So when you get born again as a believer, you are under the stewardship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by gosh, if you're under the stewardship of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll learn how to discipline your dead man and your spiritual being, and you will succeed. You will get under that authority that you belong under, and you will confess the promises that belong to you, and you'll take your stand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having obtained the victory, remain standing in it. Having obtained the victory, remain standing in it. That's what that verse really says in the Greek. After obtaining your victory, stand in it. Glory. Glory. Tighten yourself up. Tighten yourself up when it comes to the things of God. And realize that the vitalness is just as important as the principle, because the vitalness is what will establish you in the things of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk your victory. You don't think it, you talk it. Matter of fact, I think Joe Purcell is the one that brought that out. He says, I never think any of my victories. I speak them out loud. You know when I pray? I do not pray with my thinking. I pray with my mouth. I speak it out. Lord! I talk in tongues a lot. If you don't believe me, ask some of them joggers. They ran into me. I do it. Because this physical body right here, the only thing it hears is what you say out your mouth. That's how you corral your flesh. When it wants to lay down on God, you pick it up. It's about time we take a hold of our... We got a hold of the devil by the tail, but the devil's got a hold of us by our body. I better close there. Did you guys get something? I'm telling you, we need to walk in the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Now I'm going to ask us all to do something before we do anything else. Member of our church, Lou Menefee, some of you might know who he is. I got in touch with Lou last night in the hospital. And he had two minor strokes, but I guess a week ago he had something else hit him, and it was bleeding in the brain, and they don't think it's related, but I do. But this morning, I want us all to pray for Lou that he will come out of this. I want us to assist Lou in the authority that the Lord has given us for him, and so that he'll rise up off that bed. John and I are going to go see him this afternoon at the hospital. But I know I believe he's going to come out of it. Don't you guys believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. So let's pray together. Just agree with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Lou. He's a member of our church. He's a born again, spirit filled, tongue talking believer. He has a position of authority. And guess what, Father? We're not going to go into heaven. This is not the voice of our faith and say we'll get healing for Lou. We stand right now on the promises of God that he has redemptive rights that belong to him. And Father, I pray that he takes his position of redemptive right and come out of this. I like his attitude already, Father. He told me last night that he feels like he'll come through it. Well, Father, I know he can come through it in the name of Jesus. We as this church, we believe he's going to come through it. And everybody said, Lou, Lou, be healed in the authority of the ruling power in the name of Jesus. Lou. We'll let Lou know what he owes us after that prayer.
Did you guys get something here today?
Walk in your authority. Don't let anything have any rule over you. Let Jesus be your Lord. Amen. And if I preached to you and stepped on your toes, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for me doing that to him. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't like it, buying steel toes won't work. Father, everybody stand up. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is what creates a stability in us. Your word is what creates authority in us. Your word is what causes us to succeed. Father, I want to thank you for the precious promises. But Father, one promise that I want to remind this body of today, and that is the promise, who should ever call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And Father, there's anybody here that doesn't know you, knows what it means to be born again. Father, we want to pray for them and let the Holy Spirit work in their heart and bring them to a place of salvation. Father, if there's anybody here that even is concerned about whether they're saved or not, Father, we want to give confirmation that they are saved if they've asked Jesus into their heart and life. If they have any question of their position with you, we want to give them peace by giving them the Word of God, the gospel of peace, the good news to settle the issue in their heart. And so, Father, if there's anybody here that wants to be saved when we end this service, please come forward. We have altar ministers that will be here waiting for you and ministering to you. And make sure that you're confirmed in that. And number two, if you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, and you haven't been walking where you should, I'll tell you what, after the service, come up. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'd be glad to get you back into that perfect place of fellowship where you need to be. Hallelujah. And so the enemy can't lord it over you, but you lord it over him. We want you to take full advantage of this message that was preached today. And those of you that need hands laid on you because of sickness in your body, come on up and let us lay hands on you, and you will be healed in the name of Jesus. You will be. Hallelujah. Dean, I want you to come up here. You and Marilyn, come up here. Hallelujah. I want them to pray for those of you that want physical healing in your body. They're going to be up here. Come up on the platform here. They're going to be here available. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To pray for those of you that want physical healing in your body. And don't mess around with your body. If it needs healing, deal with it. Get that body back in the line where it belongs. Hallelujah. Before it gets way out of line. Hallelujah. And stretches your faith. Hallelujah. And last but not least, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all praise God. The baptizer, which is the Lord Jesus, does that today. And it comes with speaking in that heavenly language, the language of your born-again spirit. So if you want the baptism afterwards, feel free to come up here. And with that said, Father, as we now prepare a dismissal for these wonderful people, may their day be victorious, and may the choices they make today be the blessing for their tomorrow. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.